Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Father Joseph Mary. Today we'll be discussing religious communities devoted to adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Mother Marie Andre is a poor clare of perpetual adoration and is the abbess of Our Lady of Solitude Monastery, joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. My confrère, Father Miguel Marie, is a Franciscan missionary of the Eternal Word and serves at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama. And Sister Guadalupe of the Divine Master is a perpetual adoration sister of the Blessed Sacrament, joining us from Mater Ecclesiae Monastery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So let's begin with you, Mother Marie Andre, and let's talk about the beginning of the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, a community that Mother Angelica herself joined and eventually brought to Irondale, Alabama.
Our order, of course, is Franciscan, and it was founded by St. Francis of Assisi and St. Clare of Assisi, and then our particular branch of Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration was founded by Mother Marie Claire Boivot and Father Bonaventure Herlot. They were both French, and they founded it really with regard to the Gospel of Luke, with the 10 lepers that came that the Lord healed, and only one returned in thanksgiving. So our order is one of reparative thanksgiving. And then it was actually founded on the day that Pope Pius IX had proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception on December 8, 1854. Our particular branch is still Poor Clares, belonging to the overall order of Franciscan Poor Clare nuns. And of course, my former abbess is Mother Mary Angelica, and I entered in Irondale, Birmingham in 1994, and I was blessed to live with her for about 10 years before going out on foundation to Phoenix, Arizona. So 5 years in Birmingham, and then we moved up to Hanceville.
Yes, sir. What was it that motivated you to start a community over in the Southwest? I remember that it was the year of the Eucharist proclaimed by Pope John Paul II that you had the inspiration that we should begin a new foundation in the Southwest.
Well, our order was really blossoming, our particular community up in Hanceville. We had a very large community, and of course, in our constitutions, if you are overflowing, then you take that and you move out to the peripheries and start other foundations. And so the sisters and I that were called, we prayed about it. And of course, the Lord opened various doors for us. And in May of 2005, at the invitation of Bishop Olmsted, we moved out to Phoenix. And so we've been out here for 17 years. And we lived north of Phoenix for 5 years, and then we moved down to the west of Phoenix, out in the very heart of the desert in 2010. And the chapel was built shortly thereafter. And then just this past year, the monastery was completed.
And let's talk about, and I remember I was at the dedication, I believe, in 2011, of your beautiful church that you have there. You have a number of saints that a lot of people have devotion to. And one of my favorite things that you have there is a stained glass window that depicts the foundresses of the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration and those that have followed.
Yes, that is a particularly beautiful window. It's in our mass choir. And so we have Holy Mother Claire of Assisi standing with her mantle spread out, and from the left to the right, we have our particular foundresses. So Mother Marie Claire Boivot and Mother Mary Marasca, who took the order from France back to her native Poland. And then we have Mother Mary Agnes, who was Mother Mary Angelica's abbess in Cleveland. She took it from Austria over to Cleveland. And then from Cleveland, where Mother Angelica had entered, she went to Canton, and then she went down to Birmingham. So Mother is at the on the right-hand side holding the satellite dish.
Yes. Now, Father Miguel, you and I are part of the same community, the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. And you entered the community in 1996?
Six, that's right.
And you were ordained to the priesthood in 2004. And I still remember your first Mass there at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. You and Father Dominic had back-to-back Masses. Your first Masses were there. And I still remember that you got quite choked up as you were celebrating Mass for the first time. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how devotion to the Blessed Sacrament has impacted your life as a boy growing up in your own family. I think there was devotion in your parents. And what that moment was like when you offered your first Mass there at the Shrine.
Yes, I do remember that. I actually had forgotten about that until you brought it up here. The part that I got choked up was actually at the moment of consecration. And anyway, it was just a moving thing. You know, part of the reason why I joined the community is specifically the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. When I came to visit the community to discern for a week, you were the superior at that time, and then the big thing that drew me in was realizing that every single community prayers that we do as a community were done in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed. And that I knew that was something that I wanted to do, that my heart was drawn to. And then I think part of it too is because once I converted, my first conversion, I belonged to this parish in Our Lady of Peace Church in Santa Clara, California. The Monsignor Sweeney was very, you know, helpful to his parishioners, instilling in us devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, because they have 24-hour adoration. And I used to take slots for Wednesday night from 11 o'clock to midnight. I think just experiencing that, and then going to the first night, first Fridays, first Saturdays, all-night vigil with the Blessed Sacrament. And then when I came to the community, that was like my number one pull. I knew I was supposed to respond, to follow what Mother calls us as a community, but I wasn't sure about the TV work, you know? For me personally,
yes,
I'm never comfortable with that and still having a hard time. But I'm responding when I can, when I'm being called to do it.
Well, let's talk about your work. You've been assigned a great deal of your priesthood there at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, which is a remarkable place where people can grow in their devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Talk about some of the facilities that are there, maybe a little bit about the history of the Shrine.
Yeah, one of the main reason that the Shrine got started was Mother went to Bogota, Colombia, visited the Shrine of the Divine Child Jesus, and she experienced the statue, the miraculous statue, appear alive to Mother. And he simply asked her, build me a temple and I will help those who help you. And long story short, I joined the community in 96, as you mentioned. And the first time I got to Hansville, it was 1996. I don't remember exactly when, but it was a flat land. There was nothing in it. There was just a mound of dirt. And then there's somebody put a beat up door leading to that dirt. and then with the spray painted on it, it said enter here, which is like a, you know, that's going to be the main entrance. So, but then the shrine was consecrated December 19th, 1999. So it's basically 3 years time period from the flat land to become the way it is today. And there's, we have daily mass twice a day, except, yeah, twice a day basically. And then confession time twice a day also. And then we have the John Paul II Eucharistic Center, which serves quite a bit of evangelization tool, or even for those who are Catholics who go there, that they're renewed of our belief in the Eucharist.
Yeah, that's a wonderful resource, the John Paul II Eucharistic Center. It gives you a tour through the Old Testament to the New Testament, mm-hmm. the history of the Mass and all of that. So let's move on to Sister Guadalupe. We're welcoming you from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And let's talk a little bit about your foundress, Blessed Mother Mary Magdalene.
Thank you, Father. Our mother, Mary Magdalene, she born in Italy in the year 1770. And she born from a deep Catholic family, and she was four of the nine children. And she learned to love Jesus in the Eucharist from the example of her family. Her father was devoted to the Holy Eucharist. But when she was 17, she got engaged. But before that, her fiance gave a lot of jewels. And one day she adorned herself with all the jewels and just presuming how beautiful she looked with all the beautiful things. And she went to the church like that. And it was no... Her father was not happy with that and tried to talk with her seriously about that issue. Later, she came back to her room and she was looking at herself in the mirror just for the last time. And instead, when she was looking at her image of herself, her image blurred and began to see a different image, and it was Jesus hanging from the cross. And she heard that voice that was asked her, do you want to leave me for a human love? And she took that question seriously. Then she decided to join the Tertiarian Sisters of the Franciscans in Isla de Castro. Mm-hmm. And there she received the name of Mary Magdalene of the Incarnation, because she thought as Mary Magdalene always was following Jesus in the gospel and being all the time with him, she wanted to be with Jesus all the time. And when she was novice, she fell in ecstasy, and she saw a vision, and that vision was Jesus surrounded with a lot of angels, and he was in the throne of the Blessed Sacrament, and he asked her that he wanted her to found a new order with many souls dedicated to adore him and to offer him their humble adoration for the good of the church. Obviously, this took a lot of things. They were ups and downs for her, but she became a mother superior and of that community. And after that, when she was ready to begin the new order, she went to Rome. But during that time, it was the French occupation when Napoleon was with all those trouble, and he sent her on exile, and the whole community dispersed all over different places. And after that, because Jesus works always in miracle ways on his own way, and she was in Florence over there, she found a new girl who joined her. And later on, she returned to Rome. And finally, she was, as the order was beginning in the year to the 18.
So she was finally able to begin the community. And you're of Mexican descent, and the sisters there in Sioux Falls, I guess all of them are from Mexican descent. How did that happen? You joined the community in Mexico, and now you're in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Talk about that transition.
Father, that is very funny because our mother founders, she never visited Mexico. In Mexico, there was a group of sisters that they were starting a new order to adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And the priest, the one who was helping her with all the papers, when they went to Rome, they saw there was a community already established with all the things and the constitutions, everything that they wanted. It was already in our mother foundress. And then the priest came back from Rome and he talked with the sister who was beginning this new order in Mexico and said, well, if there is a new, is this already the order, we will unite. And that's why we are all together, the sisters from Italy and Mexico. And then we started in Mexico receiving books from our mother founders. Of course, there is not a lot of them because of the thanks to Napoleon Bonaparte. He did a lot of things. That's why we received just few of the writings of our mother founders and the constitutions. And that's why we became daughters of Mother Mary Magdalene of the Incarnation.
Wonderful. Now let's talk about how adoration is central to your way of life. First, Mother Marie Andre, how is adoration central to your life? In fact, I think Mother Angelica said that without adoration, you wouldn't exist. And talk a little bit about your horarium, your daily schedule.
The Lord is our life, and everything revolves around Him. Everything is tantamount to His presence among us. So the Mass, our adoration, our prayer, our work time, our recreation, our rest, everything revolves around Him being the center of our life here. Otherwise, well, actually, Mother would say, if He wasn't here, it would just be as if you were living in a sorority with a bunch of women, you know,
right.
There wouldn't be any reason to be here. No offense to sororities, but, you know, that's why we're here, because of Jesus. And she used to tell us, you are so privileged, you can get out of bed in the morning and the Lord of all is how many feet away from you, you know. And so we cycle around Him throughout the day and the night. And obviously, we're not in prayer all the time, but everything, you know, you're working or you're eating, you're cooking, you're walking outside, and you know that the Lord is right there, present to you. And
now,
what draws these young women to us.
Now, some would say, well, shouldn't you be out doing something? You know, why are you just spending time in adoration? How would you answer that unfounded objection?
Our life, our contemplative life, is justified without an exterior apostolate. And, you know, we're not fleeing the field of action. It's an intense life of penance and prayer. And by that life, we support the evangelical workers out in the field, like the friars and the active order sisters, the bishops. And by our prayer life, we're calling down, and, you know, striving to live the life perfectly. We call down, and we hope to call down abundant graces upon these evangelical workers and that it will bear good fruit for them so that they can go forward and do the work that they've been called to do by the Lord.
Now, Father Miguel, you and I are involved in a media apostolate. How does adoration help you carry out your responsibilities there at the shrine, or sometimes you have the televised mass or other obligations of our community?
You know, I think what kind of hanging to what Mother Andrea said, you know, the Lord being the center of our apostolate also, I think without the life of adoration, the life of prayer with the Lord and the Eucharist, our life would be fruitless. And we do rely on the prayers of the sisters, the prayers of the cloistered communities, like Mother Andrea said. And so I think it's definitely an essential part of our life. I know sometimes it's very tiring. Sometimes I like to do the adoration in the morning, but sometimes I have to do it, like, you know, before I go to sleep. But somehow the Lord, you know, help us to fulfill what we've been called to do, and it makes it, you know, we're renewed from that, and it's through that work we can be fruitful for the church.
Sister Guadalupe, how is your life of adoration beneficial to the church? You know, as I mentioned to Mother Andre, there are some that would object to just a life of, they would say, just a life of adoration. And how is it beneficial for the church, your life of adoration?
Well, Father, I was thinking about it when I saw the question about that. So many people think we can do something useful instead of praying because they don't see anything. And it came to my mind when I was at my house a long time ago with my parents, and I decided to join the community of the Adoration Sisters, just to stay with the Lord and pray for the needs of the world. And one of my friends say, well, what a waste of life. No, what are you going to do there? Nothing, just waste your time and your talent. Maybe you can do something else in this world rather than just to be close over there and just for yourself and doing nothing. And in that moment, I was unable to answer that question because I was just starting to know more deeply the Lord. But later, and when I was already in the community, one of my friends came and he said, well, you know, I had been thinking about you and why you don't go back and do something else. There is a lot of sisters who are helping the poor, the children, or at the hospital. At least you can do something useful that you can see. And I remember my answer to him, and I say, well, you know what? When you see a tree, you only see the branches and the flowers, the fruits. You only see that, but you don't see the roots. And the roots are doing something. That's why, yes. Because you can see beautiful branches, beautiful flowers, and beautiful fruits.
Beautiful.
And the other example that I gave to him, it was, for example, if you have a lot of things to do with your hands and you would like to do more, and then you ask your heart, please stop doing what are you doing and help be a hand for me in this moment. And I ask him, what do you think will happen with you? And he say, well, I will die. And I say, well, that's what the contemplative sisters, the cloister, are doing. It looks like they are doing anything, but they are doing a lot, more than you can imagine or beyond that you can understand. It's not because of ourselves, it's because God is the one who is doing the work.
Thank you. And Mother Andre, for a young woman who may be thinking about a life of adoration, and also we want you to give a challenge too at the end of this program, and including in your response here. But why don't you talk about a young woman who is discerning perhaps a vocation to adoration, a life of adoration, and then also a challenge.
Well, any time that the Lord calls, it takes, you know, you have to step out in faith. I remember what you said, Father Joseph, when we first moved out here, you know, anytime the Lord calls, it's an adventure and you have to hold on during that ride. And, you know, everybody, like Mother would say, is called to be holy. Not everybody's called to religious life. But if he's calling you, he gives you the grace to live it. And he wants you to be happy in that life. And I have found in my life almost, I'll be celebrating 25 years for my first vows. I can't imagine doing anything else. And sometimes I have to pinch myself figuratively, just how much he's done for me and done for our community. And that he always, when he calls, he always provides. He gives the grace. You know, he wants us to be proactive. He wants us to respond, of course, because we're working in tandem with him. He's our spouse, and it's a relationship. And so we move forward. But I've never regretted saying yes to him. There's always, you know, there's difficulties, but there's joys. But Amen. The beauty of it is that the Lord is present, and we keep moving forward, and mm-hmm. he wants to have an eternal relationship with us. And when we actually can think about that and meditate upon it, we realize how mind-boggling it is, how wonderful it is.
Father Miguel, can you have a challenge, a short challenge you'd like to offer to our viewers?
I would challenge if you don't have like a regular prayer life or regular adoration time, I would challenge whoever's watching to go to church, any church that's close by, and or if you pass by on the road, make a intentional stop and just make a visit and acknowledge our Lord's presence there in the Catholic Church in the tabernacle. That would be my challenge.
Good advice, and that would be my challenge and advice as well. And thank you three for being with us today to talk about adoration. We're going to have another program too, so we can enter more deeply into this discussion on communities devoted to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week here on the Catholic Sphere.